Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 95. And Dave, the site's under attack.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
I think it's the Russians. Trying to bring me down. They're trying to bring me down for making Steelers Nation great again.
It's Patriots fans.
Yeah, it must be. Site DDoS attack last, I don't know, all these hours are running together now. I had like about 6 hours of sleep between 2 days here trying to work on getting these things stopped, and I think we have. So, you know, if you visited SteelersDepot.com over the course of this last week, and you either found the site being down, or you had the browser being examined by Cloudflare, then you know why. We don't appear to be in attack mode anymore. And keep your fingers crossed that that changes moving forward. But as always, appreciate everybody's patience there. So, not a fun way. It's better to have that stuff happen in the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. This is about as good a time, if there is a good time, for things to go quiet. Well, a couple of announcements yesterday by the Steelers. One we had heard about earlier in the week, and the other one I tell you a little bit of a surprise to me. None of these are significant. Look, the first one is the Steelers signed Stephen Ridley. And this is something I was advocating at the end of the season. Look, Stephen Ridley, like Sean Spence, was a guy who was sitting on his couch when the Steelers signed him toward the end of the season with the James Conner injury. And he's a guy that Mike Tomlin had a relationship. And we talk about all these, you know, pro days and Tomlin talking to guys and is it a smokescreen or whatever. This is why you do those things. So you have an inventory. And that's Kevin's job primarily, to have a list of guys if they need to make phone calls that they can call. And Stephen Ridley was one of those guys, obviously a guy who had a productive college career and then some time with the Patriots. In his limited time with the Steelers, and let's not characterize it as anything other than that, but, you know, in limited time with Lev Bell not playing the last game of the season, I thought Stephen Ridley ran reasonably well. And, you know, if you were going to ask me today, who would I rather have as the third back on the team if James Conner's healthy and you've got Le'Veon Bell, Stephen Ridley or Fitz Toussaint? Well, I think as a running back, I'd rather have Stephen Ridley. Now, the question may be Fitz Toussaint is a better special teams player. We know Mike likes him in that role, so maybe he gets the job. But I like the signing, bringing him to camp. The other one for me, Dave, was, I don't want to say it's head-scratching. I mean, again, you're just bringing guys to camp. Justin Hunter's a guy that, he caught four passes, I think, for 23 yards. He dressed for seven of the Steelers games last year. He was a non-factor, basically. I mean, I think we expected a little bit more out of him. Certainly, he did some things in training camp that maybe, you know, turned some people's heads. He was a bigger target, but he was a non-factor for the Steelers during the season. I didn't think they'd end up bringing him back, but they decided to do it, you know, there's, as we've talked about, lack of depth at wide receiver with some uncertainty around Eli Rogers. Like I say, it's not surprising. Well, maybe it's a little bit surprising to me, but, again, I'll be surprised if he makes the 53, to be honest.
Yeah, the devil you know in a lot of these instances. Ridley, look, when you look at the shape of the depth chart right now, as far as not only players signed, but healthy players at the running back position in particular, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he's not going to be around for a while, right? James Conner is still probably recovering off of that knee injury that he had last year. Who else you got? I mean, you have Fitz and you have Ridley. You're fixing to have probably maybe a draft pick and then a few undrafted free agents in. So come time that the OTA sessions roll around, you want a couple of veterans, you know, guys in there at least, you know, that seemingly know what going on, kind of help these guys get through things. So that's the way I look at both the re-signings of Fitzgerald Toussaint and Stephen Ridley. These are a couple of guys that have been around, you know, long enough now that they should know what's going on. And look, will both of them ultimately make, or will either of them ultimately make the 53-man roster? If I was a betting man right now, David, I'd tell you no. No in both instances with both Toussaint and Ridley. I think the Steelers' hope is maybe to address the position in the draft. That way they will have Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, and then a draft pick, and hopefully that number three gives you something on special teams. Ridley really doesn't give you anything, and Toussaint, you know, what does he really give you? Some up back work, maybe some kickoff coverage work, and that's about it. Now, as far as Justin Hunter goes, man, you know, I was a little higher on him when they signed him, you know, a year ago, March. But that's basically, I'm probably not alone in that category, because I'm sure a few other general managers around the league have had, you know, maybe some hopes for him as well. It just has never amounted to anything with him. And last year, and I realize, first year player with the team and all like that. But you know, he made some silly mistakes on the field last year, not knowing assignments, and I think that ended up costing him a little bit more playing time. He's just not a guy. I mean, look, if you put me on the spot right now and told me to choose between Darius Heyward-Bey and Justin Hunter, you know which way I'm going.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, you've got Marcus Tucker, you've got Griffey, they're fringe guys, and you would just think Justin Hunter's had enough opportunities at this point, and the Steelers know him, that because he's not a special teams guy, something's going to have to go wrong for him to make the team. I mean, look, you know who I wrote
that on Twitter yesterday, and in the comments on my site, after posting the news of that, and a few people just don't. Well, the Steelers obviously know more than you. Look, it's not an awful signing. I'm just saying that. Something has gone wrong if he makes a 53-man roster.
Look, you've got your three guys, right? You got your three guys, and then it's a bit of a crapshoot. But let's assume Eli Rogers is going to be back and make this team. He's already running. I think the Steelers are. If Eli Rogers is healthy, he's going to make this team. So okay, that's four guys. Now you're not going to carry six unless there's a. Look, you're more likely to carry four running backs with the way the roster is currently constructed, but we'll see what happens with the draft. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But if it's Darius Heyward-Bey or Justin Hunter, it's going to be Darius Heyward-Bey. And then you've got the periphery guys, the Marcus Tuckers of the world. And I think we all think the Steelers are going to draft somebody somewhere along the way. I mean, whether you think it's the mock draft that the Steelers take Calvin Ridley in the first round, or it's a guy they're going to take in the seventh round, somebody's going to be coming in, and there'll be an undrafted free agent or two. So, I mean, it's going to be uphill climb for Justin Hunter to make the team. I would put him at best, kind of 40-60. I'd put Stephen Ridley at maybe, 55-45 or 50-50. I mean, neither of these guys are anywhere close to a lock to make the team. So you're bringing bodies to camp. There was virtually no cost for this, for roster displacement on the 51, and obviously they were able to manage that. So it's guys we've seen before who will have an opportunity. And obviously then, if anybody gets injured, all the calculus changes on all of it.
The good thing is, if let's say a guy like Martavis Bryant was to go down during training camp, at least you have a guy – similar skill set that can step in Justin Hunter. But even so, do you want Justin Hunter playing 500 snaps a year?
I don't know. It's just similar skill set as what? That he's tall?
He's tall. He can get down the field. You know, he's still got the speed to him. You know, he can still get somewhat separation. You know, but I mean, he is that same kind of player, though. You know, now obviously the level of the skill set between Bryant and Hunter are obviously way different. But at least he gives you a guy that can come in and be that wide out on the opposite side that can stretch the field for you. But once again, he's not a guy that you want playing 500 snaps, you know, for you. And if you're just carrying him as a number five, then he damn sure better be able to play special teams, and he doesn't. And he's not going to. There is not any of this, well, maybe he'll start. It's over with for him. He's not going to play special teams. They might give him a crack at it, but he's not going to excel at it. We would have seen it by now. The good thing about Darius Heyward-Bey is late in his career, especially when he was with the Indianapolis Colts, is you know, he said, look, I'm willing to do this. He just never really was asked to do that during his time in Oakland, obviously, as a high-round draft pick. But once given the opportunity to cover kicks and cover punts, Darius Heyward-Bey ended up being pretty damn good at it. And that's what's allowed him to extend his career, because he only gets, like, what, two or three catches a year right now. But obviously, if you were forced me to choose between – that's why Justin Hunter, I give him like a – I don't know. I give him like a 5% chance of making a 53 this year, because I would much rather have a guy like Darius Heyward-Bey instead of Justin Hunter.
Yeah. Okay. So those two guys. Now, the Nate Burley, the safety they signed from the Giants, you know, look, it looks like he's going to be targeted for exactly Robert Golden's role. Possibly, you know, he played the protector, the up back on the in punt formation for the Giants. Dave, you can probably speak to this better than I can, so I'll let you have at it.
Yeah, a golden opportunity for Barry, right? As Matthew Marksy wrote earlier this week. I thought that was cute because that's exactly what he was brought in to do, is play Robert Golden's or assume Robert Golden's role. It will be quite a shock now at this point if Bayre does not make the 53-man roster as we sit here today. Now, could they obviously, you know, draft, you know, a safety that can work? That you don't want to mess around with that personal protector up back role, right? I mean, you want somebody in there that's seen a lot of stuff already, I think. And I think that's the way that Danny Smith's going to go in this situation. He's only started two games at safety. There's not really a lot of tape to look at as far as his play at safety goes. But I'll tell you this, the guy likes to go north and south, lower his helmet, and hit people. So makes you wonder if kind of some of these hits he's had in the past will even be legal moving forward here. He has had some injury concerns, most notably last year, I think, with concussion problems. So you're going to worry about that. But this is a guy that, you know, I always like to joke, Danny Smith probably having a bubble gum chewing party today.
Okay, so, you know, the Steelers brought some guys in and looked at some guys for different roles. And then obviously they signed Burnett to be, you know, whatever you want to call, we'll see what Burnett is. He could be a variety of different things. And now they fill the Robert Golden role, and this obviously leads more to the question about J.J. Wilcox. And certainly, you know, J.J. Wilcox's position gets, you know, more tenuous with each of these signings. You know, initially it was, will J.J. Wilcox have an opportunity to start? Well, that didn't really kind of jive with what we saw at the end of last season, or, you know, even most of last season. But there was suggestion that, well, the entire having a full OTA minicamps in the offseason will help him immensely. They haven't cut him, so he's still around. If they draft a safety high, got to think his job is really tenuous at that point. But we'll see where it goes. I mean, because, you know, we've talked about safety depth, and safety depth is it's better. But there's not a lot of depth there. And, you know, just as a side note, as we talk about the Steelers, Mike Mitchell's still out on the street.
You know that old song on Sesame Street growing up called One of These Things Don't Belong?
Yeah.
Well, J.J. Wilcox is that person right now. Seems like we talk about him on every other podcast. It's only a matter of time, if you ask me. I think that we may have seen J.J. Wilcox play his last snap in a Steelers uniform.
It's certainly possible. Do you think he gets to camp?
Man, that $3 million just stares you in the face. I suppose it's possible, because they don't actually need the $3 million for in season until in season rolls around. But if we get to training camp and then on into preseason, and the Steelers are hovering around that, half a million to a million in available cap space, I can guarantee you who's getting cut at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see again, with the moves the Steelers have made, the singular focus in my mind of, inside linebacker and safety with the first two picks in either order has, it's mitigated to a great degree. Now, inside linebacker is clearly now the number one priority. The Steelers have done some things at the safety position. I think you could still make a good argument that you want to go there high in the draft, but it's a different landscape than it was, a month ago. So the Steelers now in the draft, depending on what you think of the inside linebacker situation, there is not a screaming position of need with the first pick, so it gives them some more flexibility. Now, we'll get into who's visited the team and everything else, but you would think the defensive side of the ball is going to be the priority in this draft. Having said that, we've talked about tight end, we've talked about running back, we've talked about wide receiver. That all these things are in play, and Kevin's set himself up here where all the things we've mentioned over the course of the last 6 weeks. The landscape shifts, and more of these things are possibilities now than they were obviously a month ago.
Do you think and I wrote about this, I think it was about last week at this time, how magically the Steelers' best player or Colbert's best player available theory oftentimes intersects with.
It has for five straight years. It's clearly intersected with need.
With need. Do you view this year as a little bit of a less of the need, a need factor? Because let's face it, even if you drafted an inside linebacker or safety in the first round this year, it's going to be hard to get either one of those two players on the field right out of the chute. And I think even by the middle of the season. Now, yeah, you can look back a couple years ago and a guy like Artie Burns and even the number two pick that year, Sean Davis, both those guys were able to get on the field, full-time by the midway point of the season. Obviously, last year, T.J. Watt gets on the field right away. You go back and you look at the first-round draft picks the Steelers have had over the years. Most recent, since really the last years of the Dick LeBeau era, where he's doing his best not to get a first round defensive player on the field, they have done a good job of that. Now, I think people keep looking at the inside linebacker need spot, and I think they keep looking at the Ryan Shazier position and thinking about the need. That being a bigger need. But I think what a lot of people do forget right now is, look, I love Vince Williams as much as the next guy. He is a very physical player. You go back and look at some of the things he did last year, especially when it came to rushing the passer and getting lined up on run. He is a running back's worst nightmare when he comes off of in a blitzing situation. He just runs them over. Ran about seven of them over last year. Had a high amount of sacks for an inside linebacker in a 3-4 defense last year. But let's face it, is there a possibility that you can upgrade that position and potentially with one of your draft picks.
Sure. Vince Williams didn't go to the Pro Bowl. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a spot in the NFL. But, you know, you draft guys in the first round to try to get to the Pro Bowl. So, you know, Vince or Bostic can be displaced in this lineup at some point in time. So, you know, that's absolutely a possibility. And you know, as times change, we talked about this at Free and Strong Safety. You know, the Steelers linebacker situation, they've had different guys in there. And again, I'll just, you know, I keep going back over the years to the when Sean Spence and Vince Williams were on the field a few years back, kind of, you know, when each guy was on the field and what the role was, to me was very kind of odd to how they played it. So I don't think things are, you know, and we've talked about the offseason, is Mike Tomlin going to do things differently with the defense in terms of the structure and how they do things? So I think there's a lot more fluidity than we sometimes give credit for in terms of the roles of guys on the field. So, yeah, I think either guy could be displaced for sure.
Now, when it comes to safety, you would think that's dangerous. But, I mean, Sean Davis is only in his third year, okay? I mean, are they that done with him right now? I mean –
No, oh, gosh, no. God, no, no. No chance. No chance.
I mean, in other words, even though we think that he might switch roles and play more of a free safety role this year, he's going to be the team's free safety, right?
He's going to be a starter for the Steelers defense.
Right.
So.
For at least 800 or 900 snaps, barring injury.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
No doubt.
Now, you didn't sign Burnett, even though this three-year deal of Burnett, you know, doesn't, you know, it doesn't have you behind the woodshed, you know, as far as, you know, liability and guarantees go. You brought him in for a purpose, and you're paying him that kind of money for a purpose, at least for this year and possibly for two of these 3 years. So, you know, you're expecting, I would think, Burnett to be playing at least 800, 900 snaps at least in 2018, right?
I would say you're expecting Burnett to be on the field for 80% of the snaps. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable number.
All right, between inside linebacker and safety, which position are you more likely to get a player on the field quicker?
I think inside linebacker.
I mean, I agree.
You know, look, we have hopeful situation with John Bostic, but, you know, John Bostic, if he can stay healthy, he's probably a little bit more than a journeyman. Vince is a little bit more than a journeyman, but if you get in, you know, if you got an elite guy, if you drafted it, you know, if a Ryan Shazier fell into your lap, you would expect that guy to be, you know, be on the field rather quickly. Now, it doesn't appear that there's a guy there, and the Steelers aren't picking nearly as high as they did when they got Ryan Shazier. So, you know, it's less likely, but yeah, you know, I would expect the Steelers first round pick, if it's either of those positions, to be actively on the field, at least in sub-package football, pretty quickly.
Are you still expecting it to be either or?
The thing I'll say now is...
You would have 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I said they should absolutely go those two positions one way or the other. I would now say the thing the Steelers should do is they should absolutely take a linebacker with one of their first two picks. And that's pretty much the only thing that's my now point of my point of view.
An inside linebacker, right?
Well, probably, but you know, again, if you know, if there is a look, they showed some. I've always thought that Ryan Shazier was underutilized coming off the edge, and they've shown that they're willing to use T.J. Watt inside. So you can, you know, you get good football players who can do dynamic things. If there's somebody at 28 who you think is just a beast of an edge rusher, and you know the Evans and the Van Der Esches and the guys who, you know, we more naturally think of inside guys aren't available, well, if you go there, you go there.
The thing about Rashawn, you want to talk about a guy that I think is probably the most polarizing when it comes to Steeler fans right now at him potentially being the pick. I think it's him. You know, he hasn't run during this offseason. He played with two groin injuries early last year. Several people were kind of curious why he hasn't run his 40 yet. Now, he did everything at the combine except you know, run to 40. And Alabama's had two pro days since then, and he still hasn't done that. Now, you know,
does that bother you at all? I mean, the guy's been on the football field. He got a lot of tape. He's, you know, recovering from a groin injury. Wants to make sure he's 100%. Really, it's kind of a non-event for me.
Only from a health standpoint of wondering what's, you know, if there's something, you know, are they going to draft him? Is he going to need core muscle surgery or something
right.
like that?
Okay, fair enough.
But, I mean, obviously you have exams at the combine, and we'll see. Look, if he's not sent back to Indianapolis for a medical recheck here in this next week or whenever that happens, then that's obviously a good sign. the thing with him, you know, here's the thing with him. He, you know, one-year starter at Alabama, you know, obviously they had talent ahead of them, keeping them off the field. Well, really, you could say the same thing about Leighton Vander Esch, a one-year starter there. He did play some, you know, on the outside. He moved around in that defense. So if you want to talk about a player that's got a little bit of versatility to him, probably more so than Leighton Vander Esch, it's him. Now, Leighton Vander Esch by far is a kind of a planet theory guy when it comes to measurables. I mean, you just don't see guys, linebackers, 6'3", 6'4", putting up the spark scores that he does. He, you know, that guy can move. He's fun to watch on the hoof, whatever he does. But, you know, he did not play against star-studded competition in his one year as a starter, whereas obviously Rashawn Evans did. So, you know, do you want the guy that with more pedigree that you know, probably not the physical specimen as the other guy, or you know, or do you want the guy that's, you know, 6'4", 255 that, you know, can jump out of a building, but maybe his best games to date has been against Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, the view is you want the guy you think is the better football player, so, you know, it is what it is, and you then combine that with kind of intelligence, ability to fit in the system, everything else, and you put those things together. The flip side of it is you may not have the choice of either of them, let alone the choice of one of them. So
I think you'll have the choice of at least one of them. I mean, geez, when's the last time four inside linebacker types have come off the board in the first?
Well, I think we know Edwards and Smith are gone early.
We think, right? I mean, you would think.
I mean, I'd be surprised if either of those guys is there at 15. I'd be really surprised.
Now they did. They did go to they went to both those pro days. So not much you can read into that. But they are prepared to pounce on either one of those guys should they fall. But we don't think that they will. So that's two inside linebackers out of the way. Now there's been a lot more buzz, positive buzz about Leighton Vander Esch in these last few weeks than there has Rashawn Evans. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, teams questioning Evans, this, that, and the other because he hasn't run yet kind of reports. Whether or not that's true, we don't know. You know, we're in this type of – in this season now anyway where these kind of reports, you know, surface, these negative reports. How much of them is truth, you know, we don't know. But I would think right now that there is a better chance that a guy like – Leighton Vander Esch comes off the board prior to the Steelers pick at 28 overall. Now, the Steelers did not go to, they sent Jerry O to his pro day. They did not go to his pro day. Do you make anything out of that at all? Or was it just too far to go? I mean, you sent Jerry O. How is it too far for Colbert and Mike Tallman to go, you know.
I don't know what guys' schedules are and stuff like that. Again, like I said on Friday or to Monday, Tuesday, you know, I don't read into the tea leaves on things like that. It's, you know, it's like talking about Belichick never moving up in the draft until he moves up in the draft, and, you know, Steelers never drafting a corner until they draft in a corner. These guys are trying to put together their best football team. They're all studying tape. You can't be everywhere at every time. They didn't talk to Juju last year. You know, they're doing the best they can.
Right. I mean, at least they had somebody there. And, well, you know, the rumor is that, or the word is that Leighton Vander Esch is going to be brought in for a pre-draft fit. He's a fun kid. I don't know if you you go on YouTube and see the post-pro day interview with Leighton Vander Esch. He just, you know, everything he does, David, he seems like a Steeler. You know what I'm saying? Ultra clean character. He's an inside linebacker version of TJ Watt is what he is. Not a Power Five conference player. So, you know, if, and this of course a big if he falls, it wouldn't be surprising to see them run up and turn in the card on him. But with that said, back to the original thing, man, Kevin Colbert likes value too. And to see him draft the fourth rated inside linebacker in a draft class.
Well, we don't know that he'd be the Steelers' fourth rated inside linebacker.
True.
I mean, again.
True, but honestly, you're not going to rate Rashawn Evans over a guy like Roquan Smith or Edmonds.
No, but I mean, again, this is, you know, value. It's like saying, you know, what's the difference in a year like this where, you know, maybe Mason Rudolph in a different year is the second rated quarterback. He is who he is. If there are four other good quarterbacks in the draft, that just means he may be available later. It doesn't mean he's a different player. So Leighton Vander Esch is, you know, who he is. And whether there are 10 good inside linebackers or one good inside linebacker, you look at him and say, is this the kind of guy who fits our system that we want to, you know, take at 28 and we think he's a good football player? I mean, I don't want to look at Leighton Vander Esch versus other guys who play the position. I just look at him as who he is and how good a football player he is. Because you got, you know, guys being drafted over have no control over how many other good players are coming out at their position.
Right, and it works into fit. You know, you have to have scheme fit and all like that. Plays a role into it as well, too. You know, as whether one team might in need. You know, as far as one team maybe wanting to draft them as opposed to another. Right now, if I had to rank them, David, it would be of course Roquan Smith and Edmonds. I think I would put. I like those physical freaks. You know, so I would put Vander Esch ahead of Rashawn Evans, and those would be how I would rank the four. I just not as high, I don't think, on Evans. You know, obviously, and really the tape of both of them have good tape. Talking about Vander Esch and Evans, it just just part of me just thinks. Man, is there a better player on the board at a different position that could help you maybe, you know, other than those two?
Yeah, well, and that's going to be an interesting thing to see, particularly if those two guys are on the board and they decide to go in a different direction. That would be very interesting to, you know, thing to watch. I would bet against it if they're both there. I would say they would take one of them, but that would be telling about their draft evaluation of those guys or telling about the fact that they felt somebody of real value fell.
I think one of the two between Vander Esch or Evans is going to be on the board. I really do. And I think the likelihood of it being Evans is a little bit more probable.
Okay. Well, we're exactly 3 weeks away, right?
Well, yeah.
Inside 3 weeks, 20 days away.
And let's see here. You know, as far as safety goes, you would think a guy like either Harrison, Justin Reed, or Jesse Bates III. I tell you, Jesse Bates III sure checks almost every box there is. When it comes to potentially being the pick, you just wonder. I mean, is he? You know, come draft last year, David. My next to last mock draft had T.J. Watt as being the pick, and then I talked myself down into. I really, you know, what I usually look forward to every year is the old man on NFL.com releasing his top 150, Gil Brandt.
Yeah, you know, Gil Brandt.
Because when you look back, and I did a study on this either last year or the year before, when you look at his top 150, they're not bad to what actually, you know, what actually ends up happening in the draft. Obviously, he's off on some, But I, you know, I let myself get back into the mold last year that T.J. Watt was more of a top 40 to top 50 player than he was a top, you know, wherever the Steelers picked last year. I forget what that number, what was it, 25th or something like that. So I, you know, I talked myself out of it. I ended up putting the kid out of Florida, the linebacker that ended up going
went to Detroit.
Yeah, we ended up going to Detroit. I made him my pick. Now, Watt ended up obviously being the pick. Now, that goes back to a thing that, you know, might be, in like you said, the Steelers might have him, right, you know, have a player ranked a little bit higher than other teams have ranked. So, anyway, I look forward to see Gil Brandt, to see where a guy like Jesse Bates ultimately falls. We saw your buddy Daniel Jeremiah, I think, had Bates way low in his top 50. I haven't checked his top 50 more recently, and obviously none of that me. You know, I was asked in a radio interview this past week, David, what do all these mock drafts that we do mean? I had to give the honest answer: not a damn thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's an exercise for fans, I think.
Sure. People want to, you know, they want to debate stuff and see, you know, and dream on, you know, players and all of that stuff. And it's, you know, people like lists, people like mock drafts. It's, you know, it gives them something to debate and scream about and, you know, it's all fine.
Right. The thing that I hate the most about doing these mock drafts is the response is being he won't be there or that's too early. I think a lot of people lose the value, if there is any, to mock drafts by doing that as opposed to discussing the player. Because, I mean, the whole goal, at least for me, from the time the regular season ends to the time the draft rolls around, is try to learn as much as I can about as many of these players as possible, and that just not those that the Steelers are interested in. And I think a lot of people get hung up with the, oh, he won't be there. Now, I will admit, I love picking at the ESPN or some of the major media mock drafts as much as the next guy when they send, you know,
Calvin Ridley or, you know, some
right,
of these.
Right. Hughes. And that's what I was getting at. Who is the other guy that does a mock, not Kuiper?
McShay.
Yeah. McShay has the kid out of Central Florida, the cornerback Hughes.
The corner.
Yeah. The Hughes going to the Steelers in the first round. Excuse me. In the first round. This kid's got character issues. Was just a one, you know, went to, I think, North Carolina, had a misdemeanor, had to get out of school, had to go to a junior college for 1 year, and then he ends up in Central Florida for 1 year. He's a talented cornerback, no doubt. But to mock him to the Steelers in the first round, I mean, that is absolutely ludicrous right there. You know, so I like to make fun of that as much as the next guy. Now, however, when you have what perceives to be, you know, a positional fit and blah. Now, yeah, can you make fun of my quarterback Mason Rudolph draft from last week? Absolutely. But I did kind of set up the parameters for that, or at least I hope I did enough, saying I wanted to see what it would look like if I put a quarterback and an outside linebacker in the first two rounds, to see what I could fill out the rest of those things. If you set them up like that, I think there's value in there. But once again, only if you're discussing the players that are picked. I mean, if you just want to discuss that they're not going to take him or that's a round too early or too late, then I think you're losing the value. But overall, I mean, look, we do this to entertain, right? I mean, and that's what mock drafts are to entertain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, a couple things around the league, and let's start with the Patriots. It's always fun to start there. Interesting, they end up renting Brandon Cooks for a year, send him out to the Rams. The Rams get all the players, obviously. Sue, Cooks, Peters, Tlaib, and they give up their first-round pick, so they lose their – they don't have a first or a second. They gave up their second last year for Sammy Watkins. Cooks is going to take Watkins' spot. You know, another playmaker for Jared Goff. Okay, so they add to that offense. And, you know, they've obviously done a ton. Now, they're going to have some depth issues, and they don't have a first or second round pick. But they are all in here on – we've seen this philosophy. We saw it first with Seattle a few years ago when Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round, and he won the job from the kid who they gave all the money to, Matt Flynn at Green Bay. And then all of a sudden, you have an opportunity where your quarterback's not making any money and you got a lot of extra cap space. And we've seen now – we've seen the Eagles do it with Carson Wentz. We're seeing the Rams do the exact same thing. One-year deal for Sue. You got Cooks here on the last year before he enters free agency at $8 million. So you put a bunch of superstars around a cheap quarterback and see if you can get there. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. That's obviously the logic from their side. The Patriots get a back end of the first round draft pick to go with the other one that they acquired earlier. And so they've got a 23 and a 31 or whatever, you know, wherever they are. They get two kind of late first round picks. There's speculation. Do they move up and try and take a quarterback, the heir apparent to Tom Brady in their mind? That's one school of thought. There's a school of thought that, you know, they use the package of the two first round picks for Odell Beckham Jr. I don't really see that as a realistic one. And then the third is they just use the picks and they got to replace Nate Solder at left tackle. They've got 11 wide receivers on the roster now. They just signed another one yesterday. So I'm not sure how pressing a need wide receiver is for them. But, you know, they've got needs along the defensive line and some other places as well. So we could just see them use their picks. So that was Belichick is he's shown himself to be not perfect, not saying that, but a brilliant talent evaluator and a guy who's certainly willing to move around the draft at all times, forwards and backwards. And makes a deal that certainly shook the NFL a little bit with another, you know, kind of big impactful deal.
Boy, if you're a Patriots fan, you probably only buy a Tom Brady jersey, right?
Right, right.
I mean, buying any other jersey, it'll be extinct within
short shelf life. Yeah, short shelf life.
Yeah, within 2 years, your shelf life on that. He is not afraid to will and deal, is he? And when you talk about wide receivers, boy, you can go back. You can go back in history the last several years. He just likes to throw the mud up on the wall and see which of them stick and then go from there. And I think I will be surprised if he drafts a – now, he might draft a wide receiver this year, but I will be surprised if he does so in the first round. They got enough talent there with Edelman coming back and you know who they still have over there, Hogan. Even though they lost Amendola, they have the kid Mitchell over there. They've still got some talent over there. So I'll be surprised.
And they've got the kid they signed at the end of the older guy they signed at the end of last year. Their depth chart wide receiver is insane when you start thinking about actually. I'm looking it up. When you start actually looking at the names who were
Britt.
Yeah, Kenny Britt, right. You got Philip Dorsett, you got Cordarrelle Patterson, you got Matthew Slater, who's really a special teams guy, but they signed Matthews yesterday. And there's one or two more guys too. You look at Dorsett, Patterson, Britt, you know, you got a lot of guys. Again, that's like you said, they're throwing it against the wall, see what they get. I mean, these are guys all who had some pedigree along the way.
Right. And this is typical what Belichick does, I think. So I'll be surprised. What I'm getting at is I don't think they're done. They've got two first-round picks. They have two second-round picks. And they have a third-round pick now. So that's a lot of draft, you know, capital, if you will. Do you think they're going to go up and get a quarterback?
No, but I hesitate to guess anything on Bill Belichick.
I think they might. You know who Brady's backup is right now, right?
Yeah, it's the kid who was Brian Hoyer, right?
Right. I mean, how comfortable are you? You know, not that you should go in thinking, well, I mean.
Brian Hoyer's, I mean, he's, you know, they're a lot worse guys than Brian Hoyer.
Nah.
Different than Landry Jones.
You can, I would trade for Landry. I think I'd trade for Landry Jones before I would
I mean, you're splitting hairs trying to call a difference. I mean, Hoyer's started a bunch of games in this league, started a playoff game. I mean, you know.
I think he's done for now. So I won't be surprised if they move up. We still expect it. I mean, look, we know at least four quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. Do you think five will go before the Steelers pick?
Yeah, and like I've said a million times, I think all six are gone.
All six are gone before the Steelers pick?
No, not before the Steelers pick, and that's what, look, I keep saying it. Steelers trade back. Somebody wants that pick and that fifth-year option, the Steelers trade back and get draft picks.
Boy, wouldn't that be something? First time they trade out of the round.
Okay, so that's the Pats. We had a couple other things happen. What else do we have? What am I forgetting here? What was the other?
Anything about the rules or whatnot that you wanted to hit on? Or?
I thought there was another. Signing. There was another roster move or trade or something that happened. Let me see if I can see what I can pull up here.
Well, while you're talking about that, the Steelers brought in four more pre-draft visitors on Thursday, all of them defensive prospects. The big name, Malik Jefferson, the linebacker out of Texas, a guy that, you know, look, probably a decent fit in second round or so. Was the conference's co-defensive player of the year last year. You know, there apparently is maybe a minor character concern when it comes to a guy like Malik Jefferson, but obviously the Steelers liked him enough to bring him in to research all of it there. The other kind of big name, if you will, is North Carolina State defensive lineman B.J. Hill. Interesting prospect, more than a mid-round prospect, and I can't remember I know the Steelers had somebody there at that North Carolina State Pro Day, I think. Forget who indeed it was that they had there. So I think there's some legitimate interest there. The other guys they brought in, Maryland linebacker Jermaine Carter and North Carolina defensive back Marvin Stewart, who's more of a cornerback than he is safety. Bob Labriola listed Marvin Stewart as a safety on his tweet yesterday. Now, there has been a little bit of pre-draft talk when it comes to Marvin Stewart that he might have to make the jump to safety at the NFL level, but really he's a day two draft pick. Talking about Stewart, Hill is expected to be kind of a mid round selection, and I think Carter Moore is a late day three or possibly undrafted option.
Okay, a couple of things I just wanted to add. Jordan Matthews, we talked about him just signing with the Pats. He was a second-round pick out of Vandy in 2014. Played 3 years with the Eagles, where he caught between 67 and 85 catches for 800 to 997 yards. Three productive years, and then he was with the Bills last year. Injured some, didn't do much. So with a good quarterback, the guy is only – he's going to be, 27 years old or something like that. So it seems like a reasonable flyer there. The other one is talking about flyers. Matt Williamson was making the argument that the Ravens have the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. And he didn't say they had the worst quarterback, but the situation's the worst because Flacco's play has, really deteriorated, and he's making so much money. So it's a bad position to be in overall. And so they went out and signed RG3. And, we can all kind of –
giggle.
As you said yesterday, giggle about that. We'll see what happens. But you want to hear, Dave, the most ridiculous stat you're going to hear is the Ravens have drafted one quarterback since 2011, and it was some guy you never heard of. I mean, it was just one time. And we've heard, we've critiqued the Steelers, ad nauseum, because that's what we do about shouldn't they draft quarterbacks and when and where and whenever. And, we all criticized the Landry Jones pick, and I think we all understood the Josh Dobbs pick. Art and Kevin have said, this is a position you should dress almost every year. Well, the Ravens. And Ozzie took it on – wore basically their lack of draft success. But the quarterback position for the Ravens, you know, if you want to have a sneaky team kind of moving up to try and get a quarterback, it would not surprise me if the Ravens were that team.
Well, they could sit at 16 where they're at right now and get
somebody.
Get Jackson or Rudolph, right?
Sure. You would certainly think.
I mean, you would think. I mean, that now you want to talk about a team with more pressing needs right now. It's them, right? I mean, Flacco's going to be your guy for at least a couple more years, right?
I don't know what the cap situation is. I mean, it's been a long time since they won the Super Bowl, so he's got to be pretty deep into that contract.
Yeah, he's fairly deep, but he's still costing a pretty penny.
Oh, yeah, he's costing a lot, but I got to think there's some point here where they could walk without. I don't know how much they kick down the road along the way. I don't know that. But yeah, you know, both, you would think this could be the last, you know, we've said this before, but you would think this could certainly be the last year for both Flacco and Dalton in the division.
Here's the thing with Flacco, under contract through 2021. There's still $16 million in past this year. There'll still be $16 million in stretched out signing prorated signing bonus. So technically after this year, if you wanted to, you could make them a June 1st, you know, a post June 1st cut, if you will, and divide that $16 million over 2 years. So there, you know, after this year, they have a reasonable out. If you will. I don't think it's going to happen.
In the next 2 years, they got to find a quarterback, right?
You would think, you know, he's already 33. Where'd time go? Already 33. Here's an interesting, I couldn't help but get, you know, why I giggled is Harbaugh's comment about RG3 thinking we got a steal here. I mean, come on. The guy didn't play in the NFL last year. Played for the Browns, what, 5 games 2016. He is the last Browns winning quarterback on record to win a game. That was in week 16 or 15 against the San Diego Chargers. That is your number two guy right now. You can't tell me you feel comfortable with that. Yeah, I know he's got experience, yada, yada. Here's a little tidbit for you this morning from Ian Rappaport, David Todd. Mason Rudolph will have a top 30 visit with the Bills this weekend, source said. Buffalo picks 12th and 22nd. He's also met with or had workouts for the Chargers, Saints, Giants, Steelers, Patriots, and Bengals. It's been quiet but very active.
Yeah, good. It doesn't surprise me. Everybody doing their homework.
We're coming up. I mean, we're coming up on some crucial times here in the AFC North in the next 2 or 3 years when it comes to quarterbacks around the division, right? I mean, we just talked about...
The Browns may be the only team that has their quarterback on the roster for 2021 come draft day.
I mean, you know, how much longer are you going to tie the wagon to Andy Dalton in
Cincinnati? Well, that's what I said. It could be both of them. It could be their last year.
I mean, Cincinnati and then Baltimore, and then obviously Ben getting a little bit older there. So definitely interesting draft coming up here. Several teams when it comes. I haven't even looked ahead yet. Hey, what do you think about Lamar Jackson? What is your initial honest thought?
You hate to make any comparison that's a black quarterback to a black quarterback. Well, you know, look, Tyrod Taylor coming out of Virginia Tech was probably not quite as athletic as Lamar Jackson. I think he's got a big enough arm. He's got to get bigger and stronger. I think Lamar Jackson can play in the league. I think he's 6'3". He's 215 now. You know, he puts on, you know, he's a guy who – and by the way, let's be very clear about this. They run a pro style offense down there, so he's seen stuff. He's not going to be. There's a lot of comments about how this pre-draft process has gone with him. He didn't hire an agent. Some teams said that he didn't do well in front of the whiteboard. He didn't score well in the Wonderlic. His mom is representing him. all those are, you know, I don't know that they're red flags, but they're certainly yellow flags to put out there. But I think he has the tape and the physical ability to be successful in the league. Not sitting in the room, some of those things, that those yellow flags, those are significant, so they would concern me. But I think he's going to make it.
Well, he's definitely going to get the opportunity to make it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, some team, I think, he, obviously he's going to get picked in the first 50 picks.
Yep.
And that usually winds up with him probably going to get a chance to start within the next, you know, 2 years at least, at a minimum. So he's an intriguing one to see how, you know, how that, you know, see if the size. Well, look, Baker Mayfield is too, you know, with that size. I mean, we're going to get a chance to see if a couple of more of undersized quarterbacks can get it done in the NFL.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield showing that, look, Drew Brees, you know, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson have shown that, you know, with a certain amount of athleticism and smarts, you can certainly play the position being 6'1". So Baker Mayfield has shown that he's got the arm strength to make the throws. So that's going to mitigate some of the size issues. And then the second part is, you know, is he the intelligence to understand what's going on? And is he tough enough? I think the tough enough thing, nobody has any problems with that. And then just, you know, can you figure it out? So,
man, I tell you, when you go down and you look at those combine measurements for Baker Mayfield, you almost look at that height of I mean, you know, he's not even 6'1", David. You know that, right? I mean, he's 6'5". I mean, that it looks like a misprint when you go down. It looks like I transposed a number wrong. Like it's supposed to be 6'6".
6'5" and an 8.
6'5" flat, you know. Boy, that's small. What was Russell Wilson?
You know, I don't know what he is, but he's not, he and Drew Brees are no bigger.
Hold on. I'll tell you what Russell Wilson was at the combine. Well, 5'10", 5". There you go. 2 inches. Russell Wilson 2 inches shorter than Baker Mayfield. Man, that's yeah. You know, now here's the thing: when you watch Russell Wilson play, the last thing you think about is his size, right? I mean, I don't when I see Russell Wilson play, I don't think 5'10", 5" is the first thought that runs in my head.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you, the Seattle offense. I mean, Russell Wilson's done some great things, but they are inconsistent. Look at the number of games in the last 2 years where they've scored 10 points or less. It's shocking. I think it's like 7 or 8 games. I mean, they are not a juggernaut offense, and they haven't had a running game and whatever, but they haven't had an offensive line. So, you know, I'm not putting necessarily on Russell Wilson, but I think Russell Wilson's a polarizing guy in terms of, I think there are a group of people out there who want to put him in the Hall of Fame right now, and I think there are a group of people out there who are like, man, it was a great defensive team. He's a good athletic quarterback, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. So as most quarterbacks are, he is a polarizing guy on where he fits on the spectrum of, you know, NFL quarterbacks today. And to me, he's on the back end of the top 10. I mean, he's not a top 5 guy. He's not 16th. He's somewhere, you know, between, you know, would you rather have Cam Newton or would you rather have Russell Wilson? Would you rather have, you know, Sam Bradford or would you rather have Russell Wilson? Not Sam Bradford, sorry, Matthew Stafford or Russell Wilson. I mean, there are guys in there that I'm probably taking ahead of Russell Wilson on the back end of that. But, you know, he's in that conversation with those guys in my book.
All right. The Steelers probably going to have a few more pre-draft visitors on this Friday. I think Kaiser White, West Virginia, might be one that they bring in here, as well. So we'll definitely be tracking that as we start getting into the less than 3 weeks to go of draft. Will probably be a couple more mock drafts from myself and Alex Kozora over the course of the next couple of weeks leading up to the draft as well. And a lot of people, I have, to let listeners know, I have reached out to Dave Dave T via email, and I have yet to hear back from him. So I'm going to, sometime this weekend, I'm one of the couple of phone numbers that I have, I'm going to try to call him to see if we can get him on a show. Now, I'd like everybody to know that it doesn't appear that Dave T has been very active this offseason anywhere around the internet. Now, I think he had an interview on a podcast back in January with like an Eagles podcast or something. So perhaps, you know, perhaps he is. But, we will do our best to get Dave T because we love having Dave T on. We know he's a popular guest and people love to listen to us have him on. But I guess what I'm trying to do is set all of you up for just in case we don't are not able to get him. We will do our best, but you know we can't promise. You know he might decide that he's done with it. I know he's told David and us not too long ago that you know he was lowering. You know what he does in this thing. You know the older he gets there. So we'll see on that. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. At Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button, upper right navigational bar. I don't think I missed anything, David.
Enjoy the weekend, as always. Thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.